going to talk about meditation. And also, I thought we would end up by doing some sort of meditation as a group. Don't you think that would be interesting?
Yeah.
I think the world has changed enormously. Because 50 years ago, nobody would really was very interested in meditation. And today, we have a camp in the eastern part of near Albany, New York. And during Labor Day, I had a session on meditation. And we had 120 people there. And I want you to know, a quarter of them had never set foot in the place. And I've noticed that when I talk about meditation, I have many of the doctors come to this meditation. I work with doctors. So I think there's a tremendous interest in meditation and its different forms. And I'm going to talk about it. And you can, as I said, if I'm not clear, you hold up your hand and we will go over it again. That's informal, isn't it? I think I've had a completely crazy life. And one of the things and why I can talk about meditation is I was born in the East Indies, and my mother, and we had the meditation room, let's put it this way. And my mother at no time had the slightest interest what we ate or didn't eat, which is unusual, isn't it? But she thought the most important thing was for us to learn to meditate. So at the age of 5, I think, around that time, we started meditating together. You must say that's an unusual beginning, isn't it? And so I got used to the idea of meditation, and it was, of course, very, very simple what we did. But she felt that was the most important thing in our life, with for all those years, that we should have a period of quietness and meditation. So the word meditation has been familiar to me since I was that little. Now, I think it has meant, I don't think like my mother, but I think it has had a great influence on my life. And I think the first thing what I learned, even when I was little, that first of all, the meditation meant that I had to be quiet, isn't that so, for so many minutes and think about things. But now I'm going to put my modern language. I'm going to put it in my modern language. What I really learned from the very beginning in simpler and more complicated language, and I'm going to put it in my modern language now, is that all of us have something which I call the inner self. By that I mean, each one of us has a state of consciousness within us, we are born with it, which has within it the sense of quietness, the sense of knowing, and therefore that in within each one of us, there is a center of quietness, wisdom, and sometimes I think that from my point of view, always, from even very young, meditation is partly learning to be quiet enough to be in touch with that center of quietness within oneself. Does that make sense so far, what I'm saying? And so I think I was brought up on that. And my mother really, and my father too, but my father was a very practical man. I had a mother who was interested in that. And my father believed in the same thing, but I was brought up, if you said you believed in something, my father would give you every objection to say, was it true or not? So he questioned everything. So I was taught up it by two different people. So I think that was very good. Excellent. Because that's modern life, isn't it? To question things. So I was taught that early on in life. Now, my parents, as I said, really believed it. And when I was about 11, something like that, I admired my parents very, very greatly for this, that they stuck to their beliefs. I was the only girl in my family. Never, I should leave the East Indies where I was born, and I certainly knew extremely little English. But I would go alone to Australia. And my parents said this one thing, that wasn't in their power, or they didn't wish to be the people who told me what to do. There are not many people who would do that, isn't that true? They said, you go to the meditation room, and you're old enough, and have you meditated enough for these several years, and you think out by being very quiet what is the right thing for you to do. Don't you think that's a remarkable thing to do? And I did. And let me say, at that particular time, you wouldn't believe it now, I was very shy. So I had this feeling, and I felt at least that I had meditated on it, and I decided that I should go, and I did. My parents made it possible, and I think it was the right decision what I made later in life, and I think it was very hard on my parents, I think. For me, I think I learned, therefore, very early to stand on my own legs. Can I say that? I had to make my own decisions. I went to Australia, and I was able to come to Australia because a British doctor, a lady doctor, had come to live there, and she was supposed to sort of be my chaperone, but she never had any time. But she was my friend, and I learned something of really about medicine very early, you might say. So I did that, and therefore the idea of meditation, the idea of being quiet to do these exercises every day, has been with me all my life. And I'm going to talk about it now from this point of view. Let me say, in my life, I've taught meditation classes in many, many places. I lived not in New York City, but outside in the suburbs of New York City for 41 years. And that's a tough place in many ways. But nevertheless, I had meditation classes there at that time, and I really learned a great deal. And of course, I grew up in Australia, and as I said, I went to Australia and left. Now, in my life, as I say, I have taught meditation to many, many people. And I really, could I say this one thing about my life in Australia when I came? It was during the 1914 war. That's a long time ago. And during that time, in Australia, a lot of Australians took part in that 1914 war. It's probably beyond any one of your recollection or any of that. But what I was asked to do so very early in life, very strangely because of other circumstances, you will think it very strange. But they felt I knew something about meditation and that I could help, even in my poor way, to talk to people who had lost somebody in the war. Am I making this clear? So I contacted fairly early in life, you might say, to talk to people who were unhappy. And I think the idea was that before I should... it was hard on somebody to interview somebody, that I should meditate, be very, very quiet within myself. Are you following me? And that I would, in other words, I have the intuition, in other words, to talk to people. Does that make sense? And so I learned early in life. And I think pretty during my lifetime, and with all the things I have learned, let me explain to you something about my philosophy. Because I think it has been the underground of what I have, the background of my ideas about meditation. Here we have our physical body, and we live in this world. Our brain, I think the two parts that are very important is of course, is our brain, because through that we perceive, we can talk. Am I making this clear? The perception which we deal and the judgment are partly in our brain. And I think from many points of view, which I'll go on much further, the heart. The heart, of course, physically, is really a symbol of life, isn't it so? So the two symbols really are the brain and the heart. Does that make sense? All the rest are organs, and they are organized, they have different rhythms, but there is an organization. There's a timing, there's an organization, and as I said, there is this inner self which I believe in. Then level, I call these things levels of consciousness. If I don't make sense, hold up your hand. Besides the organs, which are all, when we feel angry, when we feel love, we all feel that we are sending out or receiving an energy. Would that be a common experience of putting it in that way? Then there is a level of consciousness. Could I call them now levels of consciousness? Because that's how I see it, that each one has these levels of consciousness. That is our feelings. And even medicine, orthodox medicine, will accept today that our feelings have a tremendous account for a lot of difficult sicknesses, difficult states of mind. Am I making it? Even the most orthodox medicine will accept that. Am I making that clear? Our emotions, therefore, affect us very much. And they have an energy of their own which we respond to. And let me say this. Let me give you my second theory, which I think explains something. You may agree or not agree with me. I think each person, these are my own ideas, are born very roughly of two kinds. The inner self is in every one of us. All of us are interacting all the time with one another, even in this room. We are looking at one another, we are exchanging energies, we are exchanging thoughts. Some of you may feel very, and I, of course, in my life, have met many, many people who are very disturbed. But some children, even beginning at birth, are what I call, have a different disposition than the average child. I have called it, in my own language, a child is born sensitive. What do I mean by a sensitive child? A child takes in the feelings of other, and a normal and strong child has that feeling, but automatically throws it out. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? But the sensitive child, I'm trying to use the language to make sense, takes in more of the feeling, does that make sense, of what another person is. So for instance, if parents are quarreling, a sensitive child is shaken by that. Does that make sense? Well, every child will reject it. Now the sensitive child, therefore, is responding to feelings which he does not understand. Does that make sense? And therefore, they are probably much harder to raise, because parents, when they become upset or anything, cannot understand the cause. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Because they automatically respond to something they really couldn't explain when you are little. I think this characteristic of sensitivity, they will keep all their life, but it will be much changed when they are older, so they can deal with it. Does that make sense? But I think a sensitivity, and I wonder if with the sensitivity, we may have a memory which remembers, could I say, the difficult times in our life. Does that make sense? That we have a greater memory in our when we think, and we even can't explain that. Would that make sense? Thus, we've got the emotional level, and that affects us. Now, there is another level, which I laugh at it, because I think it's a purely, you might say, a mental inquiry level of consciousness. And I think, to me, a symbol, you may laugh at it, is those people who are good at mathematics and study and spend hours studying mathematics. I don't think they would be, at that moment, so much thinking of the emotional side. Does that make sense? That's why I think of mathematics as the most abstract form. Then here comes a word which is today even science accepts. I call it an intuitive level of consciousness. Practically, scientists agree to it, that when you are bothered about something, or if you, scientists feel when they have a problem and they can't seem to solve it at once, suddenly they even go away, and suddenly you get the answer or an insight in that. Does that make sense what I'm saying? And I think besides scientists, I'm mentioning scientists because they accept the idea of an intuitive approach. I think all of us here in this room have had that experience, haven't they? That suddenly out of the blue, when they really sometimes have given up, they get an insight. And even about emotional problems, all sorts of problems. And I call that the intuitive level. And I talked about the inner self before. I think, this is my personal opinion, that at that time we get glimpses of energy, could we put a word like that in for a moment, a relationship between that and our inner self, which is really expressed through the intuitive wisdom, could we put it that way, or intuitions you get up, because it comes from that level of consciousness. Does that make sense to you? Now, there is a level beyond that. It's much closer to the reality of the inner self. And I think in meditation one can get many people, different people, have an experience of that. And people have a peace of mind, and also a sense of the unity of all living things. Does that make a sense? It's a very difficult thing to describe in words, but does that make sense? For a moment, one has that sense of unity. And that is the background of meditation. And I think if one could understand something about these levels of consciousness, meditation would have maybe a greater meaning to us. That's why I'm talking about the levels of consciousness. Because everybody goes through these stages sometime in their life. Now, let me say this. Many people, and as I said, I lived for 41 years near New York City, and I met a great many sick people and many unhappy people, could I put it that way. And I learned a very great deal through that. Meditation, which is the word which I'm talking about, I think can be very helpful. I have found it very helpful in my life because I think whenever I have to make a decision, in other words, a major decision, I have learned not to respond immediately to the emotional desires, the emotional impulses. Am I making that clear? But I've learned to be quiet and to really be very, very quiet and come to that state of peacefulness. Does that make sense? Which meditation does, it makes one feel at equilibrium. And when one has that state, and here comes the trouble. We very often cannot state to ourselves what is our trouble. Would you agree with me? We feel often troubled, but to be able to state it clearly is an art, really. Not everybody is able to do so. And I think instead of rushing to decisions, I've learned through meditation, even if on the surface I can share with you, you'll be disturbed. Am I making that clear? And you are disturbed, you want to act out. But to discipline yourself, now don't. Does that make sense? Learn to spend, now when I say time, I think 3 minutes is helpful. To really say, now, be in a state, first be in an emotional quiet state, and then, and that's meditation of a sort, think with my emotions quietened down, what is the problem? Does that make sense? When we see the problem, then let us, I'm going to talk about that a great deal more, come to that quiet part within ourselves and then make the decisions. And I think we could learn to make the decisions which are able to help us in our life to fulfill some of our ideas, which are not driven by the emotions, but maybe we get these glimpses of intuition from our inner self. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Now let me say more about meditation. And would you like anybody to ask, am I clear so far? I think, as I say, I'm very lucky in many ways to have been born with to the parents I have and to have been raised in. But do you think, and I'm asking you, you can say yes or no, some of you, if you feel like it, don't you think that we are in a turmoil of some sort, that we repeat the same thing over and over again? Would you agree with me? The constant repetition unsolved, and it comes over and over. It really affects people and makes them very often sick, which, as I said, medicine agrees to. Because let me explain to you. I talked to you about a level of consciousness which is both, you might say, partly you question everything, and the emotional and mental part. Does that make sense? Then you have a problem, and you say it over and over again. First of all, mostly we are not aware of it. Don't you think that we are not aware how often we say the same thing over and over again? Now, what happens is, we almost build a picture of the problem within us, and with repetition builds a pattern in that mental, emotional level. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? And thus, every time you are disturbed, you're not thinking really, you're energizing that disturbing pattern. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? And there you get caught in the habit of repetition and not a solution. If you realize that this is the case, you know, I've talked to a lot of disturbed people in my life. It comes to as a shock to a person. You may be accepted because you are not having the problem. But if you are in the problem, most people are totally unaware of the complete repetition of something over and over again. Does that make sense? I think, and now, why is meditation helpful? What do I mean by meditation? Meditation to me, and let me say this, when I say the word I, am I making it? I want to make a decision. I want to make a change. What is the I? Isn't that the question? What is different than the I who can say, I'm doing this wrong, and make the decision? Isn't that the question? We probably say I. But really, the I, when we say the I, we are distinguishing between the emotion of what overwhelms us for a moment, and we feel there is something. Does that mean I? Now, I personally is the beginning of the sense of the inner self. Do you like the word inner self? I think it has a meaning. Don't you think so? It has a word of being. We don't think of that in terms of that. And I say to this, and the sick people I see, I want to say what I say to them too. In my work with sick people and all that sort of people, it is, I have found that if a person has cancer, for instance, if they say and identify with the idea that they have the cancer, am I making that? And feel the end is coming, and they say, instead of saying I, which most people do, like being disturbed, I have it. Do you see what I meant? The I is distinguished from the other feeling. We do it unconsciously. I mean. But if we begin to say and accept this idea which I've begun to say, that even if we learn to distinguish in this, what when we say I, that this is the first impulse which we feel the real I, the inner self. Does that mean that? That center of quietness and wisdom and intuition within ourselves. Have I made the point there? Would you agree with me or not? You don't get it. I see the lady shaking her head. Doesn't make sense. Hold up your hand if I make no sense. I have no objection to being...
I got lost in the eyes.
What?
You're saying I have cancer.
No, I don't hear you. Somebody be an interpreter.
She was getting caught in the eyes.
Oh, too many eyes. I'm saying, if you are sick and you identify with the sickness completely, you really, I think it's very difficult to help people like that. Am I making that clear? But if you say, you can observe yourself being sick. Am I making that clear? If you can observe your reactions and all that, that is an I accepting and thinking about having the cancer or the pain. Does that make sense? And that's, now can I say the next thing, which is more difficult to accept. That faint sense of I, even, the difference between I and the difficulty, is our first perception in some way of that inner self which we all have. Does that make sense? If you can really feel it, does that make sense? We mostly think, if you can accept my theory, you can develop it. Does that make sense? If you can continue to act just spontaneously without that, yes, just wait a minute, what is, does that make sense? Then it's your turn to talk, all right? Whoever it is, all right, what is it? Somebody?
In theosophical terminology, is the inner self the most that you're referring to, is that the monad?
I refuse to talk that language. I absolutely refuse to talk that language. I'm a bad girl, haven't I?
Why do you refuse, Dora?
What?
Why do you refuse to talk the language?
Because I think it's confusing in experience. I mean, if you define, like, in theosophical language, let me say this, I was president of the Theosophical Society here for 12 years, and I have been a theosophist all my life. But I tell you, in one thing, I don't think of what I'm speaking of as theories. To me, I have experienced them. To me, they are the truth. That's a difference from just thinking and thinking. In theosophical ideas, I'm not saying that they are wrong in any way whatever, but I think they divide the inner self in two or three with using some confusing words, with Freud, the psychologists have also used, and that makes it very confusing. Does that? I want to feel, because I think this is very important, not the divisive inner self, but that there's a strength and unity in the inner self. The inner, the complete workings intellectually is an intellectual exercise, but the importance is living it. Am I saying it? Am I a bad girl?
No.
I am a theosophist, but I think I'm saying the same thing in terms of experience. But whatever I say, I've gained in my very long life. And also, it is identically the same thing. The I, that inner self, to me, all my life, has been not only a very important concept, but I think everybody experiences in his own way. Does that make sense? How I experience it will not necessarily be how you experience it, because we come from different backgrounds. We use different words, isn't that so? But in our experience, you will find that we have a very similar experience. Does that make sense? That's the language I talk, and I intend to talk. So, let me say more about meditation. I think I've made clear right now the idea of this inner self, that it's all within us. I think if we accept the idea of the inner self, I have found that the intuitive understanding of difficult things, and as I deal with very sick people all the time, I also get the intuitive understanding of their problems. Does that make sense? Because you see, a lot of people get into trouble when they help other people because they want to understand their problems, that you could say their negative energy. Does that make sense? Could I use that? And they make it part of themselves. Does that make sense? From my point of view, I do understand it. But to help other people, I don't have to take the negative energy in. I have to concentrate, could I say this, to send positive ideas of help and to energize other people in getting that sense of their own inner self and get peace of mind. Does that make sense? And doing that, I don't drain it. So I can own up to something. Because I'm not going to talk about it. Maybe I'll talk about it a little bit on Saturday. Dr. Dolores Krieger and I are the founders of this movement, which has been accepted by the Canadian and American Medical Associations. It's called Therapeutic Touch. And that is really based on some of these concepts which I have. And both Canada and the United States allow hundreds of nurses to practice it. And it's really what I'm talking about in many ways. And I think they have been able to help, but I'm not talking about it today. Have I made what I'm saying clear? That you can help a person, but if you take in all the negative energy and you are for or against it, for or against proposition, you know what I'm trying to say, instead of being quiet for a minute, and this is what I'm advocating, that even if you spend 3 minutes a day, 3 minutes is not a bad beginning. It is possible. If you can do it longer after a while because it means something to you, you will enjoy whatever time you spend, is that thing? And it has meaning. Now I know I'm going to say a mean thing. I'm warning, isn't it so? I know many people who feel that they should spend 10 or 20 minutes a day meditating. But you see, their mind wanders, and they're fighting all the time, their mind wandering. Am I making it? So they really get only a small benefit of it. But if you begin with 3 minutes, does that make sense? And it becomes more real to you, slowly, it becomes 5, 10 minutes, or whatever it is, and it has becomes real meaning to you. And also, and this is with my work with nurses, what we have taught our nurses, that if they learn this quietness, they can send out a peaceful energy to the very sick person. Now, they otherwise take in all the negative energy of a person who is suffering. Does that make sense? And it's a very tiring thing. Does that make sense? But if they contact that, they forget about the troubles, they take in and they understand the troubles, but they start thinking, however, I don't know that you could experience thinking of the inner self, but you could keep it in the back of your mind, but send them peace of mind. Does that make sense? If a person is either torn to pieces by an unknown decision which tears them to pieces, or they are really suffering, they put their emotional state of consciousness in a sort of disorder. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Or doesn't it make sense what I'm saying? And therefore, if you see somebody who is distracted, instead of wanting to hug them, it's much more it's much more important to discipline yourself and come back to that peace of quietness, and then send out that feeling of peace and goodwill, whatever you like, because you wouldn't believe it. But in my really fast experience, and particularly teaching my nurses, it has an effect, because you are not reacting. If you are reacting to disorder, you cut down your ability to help. Does that make sense? People who are disturbed don't really, the hugging is the important thing. It's figuratively speaking, the hugging, you know what I mean. The sympathy, then what you want. It is to really send this positive energy, and that with meditation, one really can do. And what I'm saying, therefore, to come back to meditation, would anybody like to ask me a question here? Yes, okay.
How do you manage to eliminate the negative energy that sick person or that person has a problem from coming to you?
If in the moment you come into, this is what I teach the nurses, they come into contact with it. If the moment you think of this inner self and are quiet for 1 minute even, inside yourself, I've forgotten to stress something. Damn, you're not my nurses. I'm getting people to meditate. It has nothing to do with healing or anything, to do this. To spend deliberately, when they start the meditation, and I think it's an important thing, to really focus, our daily attention is focused really on interacting with one another. Isn't it so? We do it all day long. We take in, throw out. You, for those 2 or 3 minutes, focus your attention and are not interacting with anybody. Does that make sense? You focus it in your heart. And deliberately, you're not reacting to what anybody is saying, if a person is sick or not. And it helps to take a deep breath. It's very important, that's again from what I've learned in my long life. If at the same time, one could learn to relax. To relax here. Be quiet, and then think, or to help the person be in that quiet state of mind, and then pour out a sense of peace or healing, whatever. My nurses, I teach them the healing technique. And you will see that this reduces your intake of the negative energy. Does that answer your question? If you sent it, this you have to teach yourself first, the centering. But if you send out something, you reject taking in. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? You are sent it, and you are sending. Now, somebody is holding, I do not know. But listen, somebody, you can be my interpreter if I don't hear. Okay.
Yeah, you really need an interpreter in this crowd.
I can't laugh.
You're going to need an interpreter.
All right.
The question may be complementary to the previous question. And it is,
don't hear the word.
Have you ever felt being bothered by a problem yourself, not that bothered you and not let you help a sick person or somebody else, somebody with a type of problem?
Have you ever had a problem that interfered with you helping a sick person, you personally?
Personally?
Yeah. What do you do in this?
Well, I'm a very old lady, though. I probably did when I was young. And I've had years of experience of dealing with very sick people. Am I making that clear? So I don't think I'm bothered that way now. I really don't think so. But probably when I started and when I was young, I am sure I was. Is that... Is that a legitimate answer?
No, what I want to know is what, how you learn to when manage this.
When you were young, what did you do when you had a problem?
You don't mind my laughing, do you? It's a long time ago since I was young. Well, I'm sure when I was young, before I had learned a lot, I was also upset by making this clear. And after all, when I started to meditate, when I was young, I was 5 years old, but even when I was an adolescent, I had to struggle with it. I think, but I remember, you know what I meant. I was often given over to getting angry or what upset and all that sort of thing. But I had the idea always that, and I had this as an absolute faith, if you like to know, that within me there was a center of peace. Is that the answer for you? Really, at a very early age, I was convinced of that. You can say what, does that answer you? Probably not. But that's how it felt. What does he say?
Too easy of an answer.
What?
It's too easy.
Well, how, it was difficult when I was younger, much younger. I mean, not saying that when I was a teenager or anything, life wasn't tumultuous sometimes, but it's a long time ago. And I have seen an overabundance in my work with the medical profession of very sick people. Am I making this clear? I have worked for 30 or 40 years along that line. Yes?
You mentioned in your book on therapeutic touch.
Have I written a book on therapeutic touch?
Pardon?
I don't think I've ever written a book on therapeutic.
No, but I don't recall the title, but it's dealing with therapeutic touch.
All right. Anyhow, what's the question? What did he say?
He said that you indicated bringing the universe into yourself.
Oh, it's not my language. Okay. I'm absolutely certain I never said that because that is not me. So what I'm saying is that you feel a unity with the universe. That's very different from saying that you bring the universe in yourself. Does that make sense? But to go out and feel this sense of unity is very different. So I'm absolutely certain that I never said that because I never believed it. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Do you like the questions and answers? Yes. Somebody stand up and let me hear, if I can't hear.
Glad to talk to anybody else who is cool and maybe explain it. We're all human, but it does work. And a lot of people out there know about it in America too.
Therapeutic touch has been accepted by both Canadian and the American Medical Association, so I think that would believe it because it's practiced in many hospitals and it's taught in many nursing schools, let me say, both in the East Coast and in the Middle West. Not so much on California. California is behind the times. Can we say that for once? No, I'm teasing and making fun. Now, yeah, and then I'm going to continue. I tell you, there are many, many different methods of meditation. But the essence of it, the methods may differ with the different thing. But the thought but that I am saying is, I think, universal. There's a universality about it.
But what I'm really asking, though, is because there are kinds of meditation where you observe thoughts but you don't hook into them. There are some people who have said, make your mind a blank, etc. What do you do?
I don't do any of those things.
Okay, What do you do with the mind? For those of us that have a mind, do you try to get no thought?
That's no, it's discipline. I know that my mind is going to wander. Okay. But if you stick to it and think of that I, you see, the I, that inner self is potent. You can, and you start the 3 minutes. Instead of staying with, like so many people stay with 10, 15 minutes, you do it 3 minutes and slowly you increase it. Am I making that clear? So many people set them a timetable and then half their mind wanders all around. Most people can do something to begin with for 2 or 3 minutes, then it lengthens automatically. And it becomes a reality. I think if you really think of it and take it for granted, even if in 3 minutes you think of apple pie all of a sudden, you say, hey, you laugh at it, don't be upset. Laugh at it, that's natural. I don't know what apple pie is. But it's natural, and say, pull yourself together and think of it. If you get upset because it's not up to your regime, you have to train yourself. And it happens automatically. Am I making that way? Day after day, it comes. And if you particularly, if you use it in some form or other, when daily life hits you hard, does that make sense? And don't let, when life hits you hard, go back to just letting your mind repeat and repeat. Does that make sense? If you become aware of those things, I think it will mean more and more. Does that? I think I'm talking common sense now, haven't I? Now, about meditation, because I mustn't talk too long. Because I want us to meditate together, even if we have meditated or not before, I think we can. Meditation, there are many, many different types of meditations. There is a lot of religious meditation. There is a lot of exercises. Am I making it where people do physical exercises with it? I think the physical exercises are good. I'm not in any way against it. I don't think it's all the essence of meditations, is that it? They are the aids if it helps you. And to some people it wouldn't be help, but it's an absolute rule. Does that make sense? The absolute necessity is for you to really think about the word I. Is that I the one which gets miserable? Is that the one that gets disturbed? Or can you accept and experience the I, the inner self, which is peace? Does that make sense? It's not the faith, it's the experience. Does that make sense? And I think meditation absolutely gives that to them. Because I've taught it to many, many people, and it works. And you see, it begins. It makes you objectively experience your difficulty, but you don't say, oh, I'm no good, because you're looking again at the point of view of your emotions. Does that make sense? And you say, I'm no good, and you try, I'm not going to try anymore. That's your emotional reaction, and you think that's the I. Does that make sense? If you can really accept, which I think is so very basic to all meditations in all different forms, that there is within you that power of the inner self which has peace and a strength to really send an energy to help other people, that may change his life. Does that make sense? I mean, it's that last thing of that you can send it. It's the basis of therapeutic touch, which is practiced in so many, many hospitals today. So I think, and if you do something wrong, you say part of I have done it. Is that what they say? and not the whole of the eye. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So many, many, many people repeat, I have done wrong, I've done wrong, I've done wrong, I'm no good. Isn't that so? I've seen hundreds of people who say that all the time. But you can say, part of me, I have done certain things, and that's part of myself. But if you can get very faithful and try your meditation to come back to the acceptance, then you're quiet, peaceful, that there is that within you, and that's part of the universe. It doesn't bring the universe in, but it's part of the level of consciousness in the universe, which is also corresponds to you. Does that make sense? I mean, people who pray, people who... It doesn't matter about what religion you are, we are human beings, isn't that so? And in that way, we have a basic brotherhood lies in that concept, doesn't it? Don't you think that's the basic concept, really, of theosophy, that we have in something that we are the same? And I think meditation and living that in our daily life, it has to make all the difference to me. I'm not talking from just hearsay or saying words. I think it has certainly governed my life completely, I think. And as I say, I have been a theosophist, or am a theosophist, all my life, because in that saying. Now shall we... Two more questions, and then we will meditate together. Yes. My interpreter.
Oh, it's me again.
She's got her question again.
I have my question again. Will you have patience with me?
If you are short.
Yes.
Well, you haven't listened to a word I said.
Okay.
Because what I said is that we had all these different levels of consciousness, didn't I? And so you can't help thinking and feeling. You can't stop thinking if you wanted to, or if you're dead or something. No, I'm teasing, I'm there. But, I mean, you are reacting all the time. Does that make sense? And you are reacting at some level of consciousness. Am I making that clear? So you can't... I don't think there's a person... Can you imagine somebody just thinking, no mind, and blank staring in front of them? That's not meditation. Meditation is an experience. Am I saying that? And it brings order in all these levels of consciousness. I don't think there's anybody in the world who meditates who can disagree with me in that.
Do you think they're calming the monkey mind, though?
What?
The chatter mind, you know, keeping that under control.
Well, that's the I again.
Yeah.
The I, the inner self, isn't that so? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you very much.
You don't mind my laughing, do we? We don't mind being... laughing, is it? Yes, and that will be the final question, because I have taught myself always to keep in time. All right. Go ahead. Translate for me.
Are you saying that the practice is to move your attention, your awareness to the level of consciousness that is that peaceful place, and let the mind and the emotions do what they may, just don't focus on them?
Are you saying to concentrate on the level of quiet and peace and not pay attention to the other dimensions to bring them in?
Well, I tell you, those other things, for the first 3 months at least, will interfere, and you accept it and say, hey, stop, see, and refocus. And then slowly it comes real. Most, we are so used to all day long having being interrupted. So it will take 3 months at least to learn it. But to say, have an empty mind is not what I'm asking. You are experiencing something. Am I making it? And after a while, you can really send out the peaceful and quiet thoughts and help others. Does that make sense? I feel strongly about that. Now, there are a lot of people. Let me say, do you want to have meditation? Just a group meditation? All right. Let's relax. And just feel that we are a nice group and feel the unity within us. No darkness. I like light. Yes. All right, let us feel this unity of all of us together. Now think back, each one of you different, where you have experienced a quietness and a wonderfully quiet experience. Just this is memory. just try to focus our attention and on our heart. First, let's just focus our attention there and begin. When you focus on our heart, let us begin to feel, if you can reach that stage, of any kind of quiet. Now let us say, I am that peace. Now you think of somebody you know and who needs it, and you want to send the thoughts of peace and love to that person who you individually know. Just finish by sending peace to our neighborhood. just for 1 minute, wherever we are. Thank you. Don't you think that was very nice? We had a nice experience together, didn't we? Well, thank you.